big question in business. Has Google gotten so big it's abusing its search engine size?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. European investigators today opened an inquiry into whether Google illegally pushes competitors out of its search results. It's the first major investigation into the online company's business practices. The BBC's technology reporter Jonathan Fildes is with us now from London with the latest. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi there.
Google's gargantuan search engine, what do rivals say that they've done to abuse their size?
Well, the rivals are saying that Google is tweaking its algorithms. So these algorithms that it uses to produce its search results, and it's tweaking those so it promotes its own services and penalizes its competitors. So in particular, it's penalizing sites like price comparison sites and these so-called vertical search engines, which focus in a very specific area.
Now, Jonathan, this is a cutthroat business, right? I mean, some would claim that anyway. Is there something wrong with this?
Well, I think Google's size is a worry, and the fact that it's now using that size potentially and allegedly to push out competitors. And the competitors say that this is kind of stifling innovation and not giving consumers choice.
What kind of broader implications are we talking about? Could this spread to, say, the United States?
Well, we've already seen a very broad investigation launched in the US. So earlier this year, the Attorney General of Texas launched a very similar investigation. In fact, it launched that investigation due to complaints brought by some of the same firms, including this British firm called Foundum.
The BBC's technology reporter, Jonathan Fildes in London. Jonathan, thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a tough year for people who have suffered at the hands of catastrophes. There was the horrific earthquake in Haiti, devastating floods in Pakistan, and the oil spill in our own backyard in the Gulf of Mexico. Added to all the other disasters on the planet, a new study says the price tag this year is triple than what it was last year. From London, Christopher Worth explains.
Globally, that's $220 billion in economic losses from major catastrophes. Thomas Hess is with Swiss Re, the insurer that issued the report. However, the cost to the global insurance industry is up only about a third to $36 billion. He says that discrepancy has to do with the fact that the places that saw the worst natural disasters this year, notably Haiti and Pakistan, lack viable insurance.
So a lot has to be done in these markets to make these things insurable and also to facilitate that people can afford such insurance.
He says if people in those countries had insurance, that could have helped prevent further losses and could have saved lives, as insurers typically push for making buildings safer. Indeed, the study shows the human cost is even greater this year. Severe catastrophes claimed the lives of nearly 260,000 people, compared to a world total of 15,000 just last year. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Global stocks are down at the moment. Despite an encouraging unemployment report in Germany today, once again European debt and fears of Chinese inflation are keeping markets lower. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 39 points to end the day at 11,052.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. And by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric.
With the European bailout and a whole lot of budget cuts in the works, you might think it's not the best time to open a new public attraction in Ireland. But some brave souls who believe magic can still happen, even in a tough economy, have done just that by opening a leprechaun museum. Reporter Anne-Marie McNerney visited the museum in Dublin and filed this report.
Leprechaun is a magical being. They are small-sized people. You know one when you see one.
Tom O'Rahilly is the founder and director of the world's first leprechaun museum. It opened its doors last March, just on time for St. Patrick's Day.
We've had 40,000 people through the doors now. We're attracting 75% foreign visitors, 25% domestic.
It couldn't be a tougher time to start a new business in Ireland.
That's true, and there's a range of difficulties presented, but there's opportunities there as well. This business wasn't viable 3 years ago. This building was scheduled for demolition. It didn't get demolished because the market declined. We were able to rent it at a reasonable rate then.
This is Ireland, island of myths and legends. Our stories rooted in reality and steeped in fantasy.
The Leprechaun Museum invites people into a leprechaun-sized world and allows them to journey to the end of the rainbow to see if that crock of gold exists. Dathi O'Hogan, a professor at the Department of Folklore in University College Dublin, says the museum opens up the realm of folklore and fairy people to the public.
This museum consists of storytelling, maps and various reconstructions of fairy dwellings and so on. The leprechaun is, if you like, the little doorman who invites you in to this view of the other world.
At first, when you go through, it's really dark and really scary.
We loved it. It was beautiful. The interior is amazing. And then the story of the stories is brilliantly told.
Believe it or not, leprechauns are not just a Hollywood invention. The first documentary evidence goes back to the 8th century. So to the really important question, do leprechauns still exist? Tom O'Rahilly of the Leprechaun Museum in Dublin.
If they've been around for 1300 years and the cynics haven't managed to get rid of them now, well, they're obviously quite persistent and there's a reason for them being here. They're part of the culture.
In Dublin, I'm Anne-Marie McNerney for Marketplace.
And finally, the Kardashians are getting out of the debit card business. That's after Connecticut looked at whether the card pushed by the reality TV family violated consumer protection laws. The prepaid card costs just under $10 to buy, carried about $8 a month in fees, and if you wanted to add money to the card, it was another $1.50. The Kardashians say they made the decision because they want to be good stewards for young adults, the card's target. The Consumers Union says prepaid debit cards tied to celebrities are all the rage. People want to be rich and famous, just like their favorite celebrities. Unless, of course, the fees make them broke and jaded. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Queen's Cove in the Bahamas is beautiful, but rising oceans mean it gets hammered by hurricanes. You can't get insurance, which means you can't get a mortgage, so...
A lot of people have just walked away from their homes, and then you had some people who sold it for next to nothing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, insurance companies, climate change, and how we live, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.